That's doable. That's acceptable. That's allowed.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about Edge of Tomorrow, or All You Need Is Kill, or whatever it is that Tom Cruise dies a lot in.
A lot.
A lot.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Howdy doody.
And today, we are going to talk about some Tom Cruise movie. No, we're going to talk about Groundhog's Day, the action movie. We're talking about Edge of Tomorrow.
Die, kill, repeat.
Totally.
Die, kill, repeat.
Totally not a movie that has any atheist themes at all.
All you need is kill.
Hey, this movie, we're going to be a spoiler-filled episode, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to
spoil the shit out of this thing.
It just came out on Blu-ray like a week before we're recording this. Early October. So if you are like most people and you missed it in the theater because it didn't have super high theater grosses, then you should maybe rent it or check it out. Or
Redbox that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people go to Redbox
or stream.
And they get movies at McDonald's.
Or do the stream thing. That newfangled way people watch movies these days.
We picked it up on demand.
Yeah, we did.
The other night. But
I totally Blu-rayed that motherfucker because I'm old-fashioned.
The basic premise is there's an alien invasion in Earth.
Yep.
And
they're called mimics.
There's this big push to wipe them out because we finally won a victory.
And that's like
the first 3 minutes of the movie.
They do a really clever job with montage and a mix of news clips and actual footage mixed in with the recorded stuff. I was really impressed by that. There's one thing this movie does right. It shows, not tells. I mean, it really does a good job of exposition that way.
Yeah.
They establish the situation extremely well, extremely quickly.
And then for a 2-hour long movie, they skip the entire initial invasion. They skip the invention of the new technology that's our saving hope against the aliens.
They don't explain what they are, what they want, where they came from. Doesn't fucking matter. They're here, they're killing us.
They briefly kind of hypothesize that, it's probably two guys on a bus or something, like resources. They got to be here for resources.
They want our ore.
Yeah. You know, but it's not really.
Minerals.
So they apparently have the ability to reset the day when one of their more major parts of the hive mind dies.
The alpha.
When Tom Cruise kills the alpha and it gets its alpha blood all over his fucking face and makes him look all melty cool. And then he wakes up and it's the same day that morning when he woke up before.
And Tom Cruise becomes the alpha that's essentially resetting the day. So, I mean, when people talk about this being like Groundhog Day, it really is like Groundhog Day.
Even with the comical parts.
Yeah, you've got the character that resets the day over and over again. In Groundhog Day, there's no explanation for as to why it happens. Here, they give you an explanation, but it's not even necessary.
Groundhog Day is so great is that there's no explanation. They don't even go into it. It's just, he does it over and over and over until he gets it right. Why? Not important.
Yeah. In this one, they explain it. And,
but there needs to be an explanation. I mean, it's not a strike against it.
The explanation is central to the plot in this one.
Right.
If you didn't have the explanation, you wouldn't understand what happens the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So
there's that. I saw the movie in the theater, and It wasn't a horrible disaster. It made over 100 million, but it took
recently.
It took like 3 months to get over 100 million.
As was pointed out to us, on Facebook, it's the first Tom Cruise movie in 9 years to bring in over 100 million, something like that.
Oh wow!
Scientology works, y'all.
So in that sense, it was a success, like a smashing success.
Well, I don't know that it's made all its money back because of how much they had a really big advertising campaign.
Yeah, the budget
but
must
the,
have been.
The DVD release is only just now, so... And I don't know how much... And that might just be the United States market. And so I guess, like, a lot of people are saying, oh, it was such a failure, such a failure, such a failure. But I guess when you actually look at the numbers for it, it wasn't such a failure. It just wasn't, like, a huge success.
I think, to me, kind of the issue was, you know, there's this constant drumbeat. And I mean, there was a drumbeat every year at Convergence. There's the, you know, why aren't we geeks getting any good science mm-hmm. fiction movies? You know, we're getting these Marvel movies, and they're cool. But
yeah.
Then we get these shit-ass Transformers movies and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. And why aren't we getting any good science fiction movies? And at Convergence, I was like, well, I don't know if you guys... No, but there's a movie in the theaters right now that's actually really very good.
Yeah.
And you're not going
to... Based on a novel.
Based on a novel, yeah. And you're not going to see it.
Well, I think a big problem... When I saw the ads for this movie, I did not have a big interest in seeing it because it just looked like an alien war movie.
Hmm.
They didn't give away the hook, and perhaps that was a failing on the marketing part, but for whatever reason, there was no indication that Tom Cruise dies over and over and over and over and has to reset the day, and that Emily Blunt also had this power before right. and was dying over and over and over, and she now recognizes he has it.
It wasn't a major focus, but I think it was revealed at one point or another, because I remember Bill Young, Minneapolis comedian Bill Young, saying... that if at some point during that movie Tom Cruise doesn't go, oh, huh, like Groundhog's Day.
Right.
If his character doesn't do that, then that movie is a failure.
That may have been in the write-ups of it and stuff yeah. like that, but just sure. the actual TV ads. When I saw them, I don't remember when we saw the trailer in the theater, I remember it was like, hey, wake up, like, here's Vertebra. Like it was hit, and maybe I'm getting confused with that other... movie Tom Cruise was in just before that.
Oblivion?
Yeah.
Which was not very good.
Maybe I'm getting those two confused, yeah. and maybe that's also a problem they had, because they kind of had a similar filter on them.
Need to stop putting... Wham! What Scientology dude loves being the star of science fiction
science
movies.
Science fiction movies.
With aliens. Oh, that's so strange.
He just wants to help get rid of DPs, you guys.
He does. Yeah. He
SPs.
Does.
Double penetration?
Yeah, he hates double penetration.
He really hates that.
Sure,
shit.
I believe
uh-huh.
that about Tom
yeah,
Cruise.
I believe
he
that.
Hates getting two dicks in his asshole.
Or wherever.
Yeah, or you know, whatever. Like, just somewhere yeah. inside him.
But I mean, I remember seeing the trailers, in the trailers, there is the scene where the one that I saw anyway, there's the scene where she looks at him and she says, you know, come and find me when you wake up. And then they show a shot of him waking up.
Yeah.
And I was like,
get up, maggot.
I think I am confusing it with Oblivion.
Yeah, probably.
Oblivion.
Which we never saw.
Which also doesn't help them. I mean,
no,
I'm just
no.
going to say
not
that.
I'm not going to try and explain Oblivion, because Oblivion was dumb and it doesn't need...
Didn't it also have a girl who was the other part, who was like a soldier part?
Well, you know, I could tell you the whole story.
I don't need to know that.
No,
there
good.
Also
there was
a
also a girl.
See,
who was...
and that's why I got it confused.
But Emily Blunt was kind of awesome.
Emily Blunt was awesome in this movie.
Yeah,
she's kind of a cold bitch, like in a very appealing way.
Yeah,
I liked her character.
She's very serious.
Severe.
The editing in this movie was fantastic. The way it was edited, there was no point where I was like, boy, is this boring. And or I was like, God, I wish they would just shoot him so this could reset.
Well, how many times did they actually show him waking up? I mean, for the first time, that probably like 40 times.
There was an entire
yeah.
scene where it was like, bang. Wake up, bang. Wake up, maggot,
yeah.
maggot, maggot. And it was just
yeah.
her
yeah.
shooting him in the head
yeah.
over and over. And to the point where she would pull out the gun and he would flinch like, no, no, no. And like, she's like,
I'm okay.
Your leg's broken. No, no, it's fine.
It's fine.
He's pulling yeah. himself away from
like,
her.
Like, feebly pulling. No.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, that was really great. It ended really well. It ends very abruptly.
Yeah.
And I loved that. As when it ended in the credits rolled, I actually turned to Nick and I said, oh, fucking, that was perfect.
It's a Hitchcock ending.
Yeah.
He goes, why do we need to show what happens after the denouement? The
yeah.
movie's ending.
Yeah.
Everything from here on out is happy shit. Like, the important bits.
So yeah. the ending was interesting, and maybe we're leaping, but since you brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I saw this with my wife Pat and our friend Peter, and we walked out and we talked about the ending a lot, because... Part of me, when I first saw it, and Cruz has killed the Omega. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Spoiler. They win.
Yeah.
Cruz kills the Omega, and then he gets saturated in the Omega's blood.
Yeah.
And he resets again. And I wasn't sure I felt about that, because I was really okay with it ending with them sacrificing lives to win this war.
Sure.
But at the same time, I was like, okay, narratively, we need to see, did it work?
Yes, exactly.
And the only, and since this entire film has been told from the perspective of one character, we never shift from his point of view.
No.
It's never taken from anybody else's point of view. It means that if we don't have him revert, have him reset the day, as it were.
Or in this case, like almost the year. I mean,
yeah,
it was
we don't see what the end result of that was. So I was like, okay, I guess I understand narratively that that's an interesting point. But what I got to thinking about next was, okay, but does that mean he still resets every time he dies?
I don't know. Well, but maybe he would. But he, if he's aware of it, he could go get his blood transfusion.
He could go get a blood transfusion.
He could just cut himself really deeply until he bleeds out, and then call 911.
It's interesting that even though he doesn't have the same accident happen where he gets saturated in the alpha blood, he does retain the powers, even though his physical body is not traveling back in time. It's just his mind. It's just his consciousness.
Yeah.
He's not physically going back in time.
Yeah.
Yet, the blood is still the key for the transformation.
That's one of the reasons a lot of people said there are plot holes. You know,
well, whatever.
Of course there are plot holes. Holy
magic.
Fuck.
I mean,
it's a time travel story. Of course there are plot holes.
He gets MacGuffin power, and then he loses MacGuffin power.
And they tell you early in the film how the MacGuffin power is going to go away. So you're like, well, if that's going to happen.
Well, everything.
Because why are you telling me this unless it's going to occur? It's
Chekhov's gun, right?
There were so many Chekhov's guns in this. There was like an entire Chekhov's arsenal, because it was like, oh, if you
Chekhov's
like,
external
one
mech
of us,
armor.
Yeah, one of us is going to have to get killed by an alpha because we can't kill the alphas.
Right.
You know,
one for the team.
I bled out and they gave me a goddamn blood transfusion. I woke up in the hospital and I'd lost the power. So that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But one of the two things I like the most about the ending, and it's that one of the Chekhov's guns never happened, or we never saw it, which was she says to him right as she's dying after the helicopter explodes, when he tells her it's gonna, right as she's dying, she says, "My middle name is Rose."
Mm-hmm.
And we never see him use that information.
Right.
Which I loved.
Yeah,
because,
that was nice.
Because we just know now that he has a key to get her to trust him faster.
Yeah.
And they just show her trusting him faster, and that's fine. But what I loved most about the ending wasn't that the day reset, which is great. But two things. I love that the day reset and all the aliens are dying, but they're still going ahead with the mission. Because you can't turn around a gigantic war machine like that. And so they're all still going on the mission. You still see them running in their formation on the aircraft carrier. And as far as we know, they're going to go and get on the goddamn plane. And they're going to suit up. And they're going to, I mean, we don't know.
Right.
And so that's still happening. All that's still happening. And then also that when he walks in to talk to her and she says, like, "Who told you could talk to me?" He just goes, and then it stops. Like, just this little laugh, like this little smile.
He doesn't, no explanation.
Doesn't matter what he's going to say next.
Right.
And they didn't, I was like, God, I hope he doesn't say, like, "Your middle name is Rose." And then it's like, oh, I'm going to vomit. Like,
Hitchcock
nope.
ending.
Exactly.
Boom.
Yep.
No, that was nice.
Yeah.
We get confirmation that he is there and she is there, and that's.
They're both alive.
Doesn't matter.
She doesn't remember. He does.
Yep.
And he's going to be like, "You're going to, this is going to be great.
We're going to go get some beer, and I'm going to tell you a story.
Cannot wait to fuck you tonight. Got a great story."
One thing I really, really liked is that since he's tapped into this hive mind time travel power thing that the aliens have, the alien uses that against him.
Mm.
Yep.
By giving him visions of where the Omega is, of where, how, you know, It shows him the Zelda boss weak point, and he goes there to find it, and it's a trap. It's a fucking trap. It is not there, and what is there is an alpha there to die and reset the day if it's not in the alien's favor, and also one of the orange ones, the claws, the minions there to wound him so that he's bleeding.
Yeah.
So that he'll bleed out to lose the power and, yeah. and like, and are they going to kill him? Nope. They're just going to remove him from the game.
Yeah.
Take him out of the, out of the equation.
I did
yeah,
say,
that clever.
That. I love that.
I did say that, hopefully that when we do get invaded by an alien species, it is hive mind based, because that appears to be the only way we can win is that we take out the main brain and then the rest of them just drop dead, like War of the Worlds and, Independence Day.
War of the Worlds, we don't defeat them.
War of the Worlds, they get a cold.
They get a cold.
They all die at once when the main brain ones get sick. They all start falling down and dropping.
No, that's not.
They all
catch a cold.
Yeah.
I thought it was that the main big guys, not the little ones on the ground, but the huge ones that were actually beaming people up and using them for terraforming blood fuel are the ones that get sick, and then the rest
of
them.
Yeah, but that's just the movie. The story
I'm talking about is the recent movie.
There's no hive mind in
there. There's no hive in there.
Yeah.
Still seems hive mindy.
But we don't, but I mean, War of the Worlds is an example where the human race does nothing to win that battle.
Right.
They win by accident.
Germs ex machina.
Because the cold virus is something that they have.
Way more examples of the hive mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Day.
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys. Sure. Yeah.
Well, the Borg from Borg.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing.
What are we going to do? If we don't. Well, you need it for a movie. You need an end boss. You need something to.
Yeah.
You need to be able to win the day in a one stroke.
If you're going to have overwhelming odds, there needs to be a way for all of those odds to just drop dead at once. And the best way is hive mind.
Yeah, hive mind makes for a good movie.
Someday I just want there to be a movie where they gloss over, 15 years of, attrition.
Yeah.
In montage, and then they're like... And they're like, okay, and then we skip ahead to the D-Day. But meanwhile, 15 years of, humankind getting slaughtered and aliens dying too.
And
there's no end boss. We just beat them by attrition.
Yeah, that would be a good... the one thing I want to say about this movie, just steering in a slightly different direction for a moment, the marketing on this thing is awful. They renamed the movie for video release.
Yep.
What?
They're like... It's now Live, Die, Repeat.
Yep. Live, Die, Repeat, colon, Edge of Tomorrow.
And I mean this in the most disparaging of ways, that is the most retarded thing I've ever heard.
It's so dumb.
Retarded people are like, wow, that's dumb.
The book was All You Need Is Kill.
It was a manga.
Right. Yeah. All You Need Is Kill, which they kept for the movie and the theatrical release as a subtitle that they only vaguely used.
Is that a bad translation? Or is that really what it translated to in Japanese?
All I can think of is the Beatles song.
Well, I'm sure that's what it's meant to be modeled after.
All you need is kill.
But kill is... I guess love is a verb, but it's not a verb in that sentence.
No.
It's a noun. All you need is to die, or all you need is death, or all you need is alpha blood on your face turning into a weird cracked doll.
I mean, there would be... I don't know kill, I just know die. But if you used, so my Japanese is way rusty, but if you used a ne-form verb, which would be an order, swate, or te-form, shine would be die,
okay.
Swate would be sit.
Okay.
If you use the a-form verb, it would be a command, so if it was kill,
kill!
If it was telling someone to kill, if it was all you need is kill, you telling someone to kill,
maybe that's
how it was translated, or maybe I don't know.
The point is that might have been a better title than Live, Die, Repeat. I don't know. But why do you the people that enjoyed the movie, now I suppose they're going to go and get it anyway.
Yeah.
But if you like the movie and you're telling friends, hey, I think you really want to check out this movie.
Yeah.
You're going to say, I think you ought to check out Edge of Tomorrow. And they're going to go, it took me a while. And I knew what day it was coming out on DVD and I was very excited and I was going to go buy it. And it took me a while to find it.
Because it was probably filed under L.
If you go to a Best Buy and you're looking through the racks...
Yeah.
There, alphabetically. Is it going to be under E?
No, it's going to be under L.
On On a more serious note, I feel bad that I've said that this was retarded, because I feel like that's not fair enough, because it's dumber than that.
It's dumber than retarded.
I apologize if anyone was offended by that, because I realize that it is actually worse than that. I'm trying to think of what it's. This is Santorum levels of dumb.
quote Molly Glover. This is dumber than retarded.
This okay. is Santorum.
Well, we just lost a listener there, but that's all right.
I'm sorry. If we lost a listener because they prefer Santorum to my apology for offending people for using the word retarded, they probably weren't going to stick around very long anyway.
Well,
I'm surprised we didn't lose them sooner.
But yeah, I liked the movie, and
me too.
I was pushing really hard to get geeks to go see it, just because I'm like, if what you want is good science fiction, no, I'm not going to say this is great. Guardians of the Galaxy is great. Edge of Tomorrow is very solid, very entertaining.
It was very enjoyable, yeah.
It has plot holes, but it drives the plot exceptionally well. It takes you to a certain point, you know, and right when you're just about sick of that particular direction that it's going, it swerves.
Anything with time travel requires a pretty enormous suspension of disbelief.
Yes.
And I feel that however you might feel about there being plot holes about how the time travel works, it's irrelevant. That's part of the suspension of disbelief of having a time travel plot movie. At least they were consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the most important thing. I don't know. I feel like Edge of Tomorrow to me is kind of like this year's Looper in that. Yeah, Looper's a better film, but in that it's that good science fiction film that a lot of people missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were quick with it too, like Looper was. They had some quick stuff where it was like you felt like the action was happening and it was just you were just thrown into it without there being a lot of explanation.
The exoskeleton mech things were awesome.
Yeah, they were really cool.
I like that they
had a lot of cool weapons.
So one cool scene. They are running. They're getting further than they have before, and she's not wearing her suit. And then the battery on his suit dies, and he has to take it off. And they never say, your suit died too, or your suit died. Oh, here goes mine. Instead, it just is.
Yeah.
And at first, I was like, what happened to her suit? And Nick's like, I wonder if the battery ran out. And then his battery ran out, and is like, all right. I like that. That makes sense. That's a thing that would happen. You know,
new exposition.
Yeah, it was good.
Tell by showing.
Yeah, it was really
good. They did a very solid job of showing rather than telling.
Also, Tom Cruise totally looks his age in certain light, and it was very funny to me.
When they're looking at the map and the scientist basement thing, and he's being underlit by blue light.
With wrinkling his face. Oh my God.
You started singing that Jonathan Coulton song.
I did.
Tom Cruise Crazy.
And he knows he's gonna have to play an old retarded grandpa while some young actor plays his sexy son.
Tom Cruise is crazy.
Just be glad it's him, not you.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great when he has to finally admit that he's old. Because, his character, they said some things that made it sound like he was recently graduated from West Point. There was a thing where he was like, look, I'm not, you know, like he had just, like,
he
had gotten.
His 50s?
Yes.
He just turned 50.
Yes.
Or
and
he's
so
just
they,
about to
the
turn
The character,
50.
They made it sound like he might have been in his late 20s. And I was like, okay, come on, guys.
He still, to be fair, looks pretty young.
He does look pretty young.
He doesn't look 20 years old.
No.
He's also a midget, so.
He does look young because he has money.
Money makes people
not
look
like
young.
Renee Zellweger, but that's a whole other thing.
Let's go to 5 questions.
Yay!
We have 5 answers from a listener. Who do we have, Molly?
We have Brian in Boulder.
Boulder.
He had to write in because we are geeks, atheists, and you do improv?
What?
No way.
Yes, and?
He said he'd love to hear us go a little more in depth about improv someday, so.
Someday we will, about Brian. Improv.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to make it up as we go along.
Oh, I get it.
All right.
Because that's what improv is.
Question number 1, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I have a 3-year-old, so most of my movie viewing involves exposing her to classic animated TV shows on YouTube. So to that end, just last night I found Ricky Tikki Tavi on YouTube and watched it again with my wife. Maybe a little too scary yet for the kid, but man, I loved that movie when I was growing up. I think CBS played it at least once a year, and it holds up. I loved it all over again. That movie scared the fucking shit out of me when I was a kid.
So good choice. There.
That's all I remember about that was that I did not... The name gives me a sense of unease. I can't explain it other than that.
There's a... there's a subreddit, and I don't remember the exact name for it, but I think it's full movies on YouTube. And because you know how when you upload something to YouTube, you can make it so that it's not listed anywhere, mm-hmm. but anyone can view it if they have the link. And so people upload full movies to YouTube, or the copyright is expired on them, like Day of the Earth Stood Still and the original Dawn of the Dead or sure. Night of the Living Dead. There's no copyright on those right now, so those are up there legally, and so people just list movies on the subreddit, and there's kid stuff. Yeah, if we can find it.
So yeah. Ricky Tikki Tavi.
Yeah. Ricky Tikki Tavi. Question number two: who's your favorite atheist character?
The main reason I went ahead and sent these in is because I think I have a great answer for this one.
Boom.
Harold the Missionary. Now, I'm guessing you don't know who that is. I have to admit that I had to cheat myself to make sure I had the name right. He is a character from the movie Eric the Viking. Technically, he's actually a Christian, a missionary, in fact. But in the context of the movie, he's an atheist with regards to the Viking religion. Huh. So when they arrive at the end of their quest in Valhalla, he can't see it because he doesn't believe in it. As a running gag, it's absolutely brilliant. I hope that counts.
I've never seen it.
I don't know what that is.
It's not technically a Python movie, but Eric Idle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've seen it, but it's been a very long time.
Because he's an atheist in that he believes in not their God, I guess. Right. But I mean,
he's 99.9% the atheist. We are right.
I think we can allow that answer, right?
I think so.
Works for me.
Question number three: what's your geekiest hobby?
I collect Rubik's cubes. I got into them as a kid and even won a prize. Second place, I think it was, at a speed-solving contest at the state fair back when I was in peak form. Mostly now, I just keep my eye out for them at thrift stores, looking for the regular 3x3x3 cubes with specialty stickers done up for businesses and such. I have something around 130 of them.
Holy fuck. That's amazing.
That is very geeky and awesome.
I have a coworker that has like 6 or 7 on his desk.
When I worked at Marbles, one of my coworkers could solve it in like something like 30 seconds. Like, it was ridiculous. He'd be like, mess it up. You'd mess it up as much as you can and give it back to him, and he just did it.
Look at the cube? I mean, it's basically a pattern.
Not really, no, it's just a pattern. He would just do it.
Yeah,
it was
crazy. The pattern,
he tried to teach me, but I'm...
I could never figure out the fucking pattern.
I love that there's kids who, using the Legos Technics and the Lego and, like, webcams and programming, have made Lego machines that solve Rubik's cubes.
Yes.
And now there's like competitions to build the Lego robot that solves the Rubik's cube. So while there's still Rubik's cube competitions, now it's the competition to build the robot that solves the old competition. I love that.
I mean, that was so amazing to me that they had this puzzle that generated an industry on how to solve the puzzle. I mean, there wasn't just one book on how to solve Rubik's Cube. There were multiple books.
Oh, there's probably, I would say there's probably close to 100 that were ever published. So, I mean, it's nuts.
And everybody had a Rubik's Cube with a company stamp on it. So, you know, I can understand 100 different Rubik's
Cubes. Well, they sell, I saw this recently. Maybe an Instructable or something. Some guy had made a tactile Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Like a Braille.
They make them. They make them with different patterns for the blind.
Yeah, like one side different has gems grain. And one has
Different wood grains. Different. They'll have velvet. We had those at Marbles. They'll have like velvet squares and rough wood and sandpaper and bump squares.
I wonder if listener Brian has a Braille Rubik's Cube.
Go to Marbles the Brain Store or .com.
So question number four: what is your favorite sandwich?
We had this sandwich shop called Spicy Pickle, and they had a sandwich called the Bronx. This is a Reuben, but with coleslaw in place of sauerkraut. Mm.
Huh.
It was on sourdough bread, if I recall, and heated in a panini press. It was really, really good. Unfortunately, I was told all but one store has pulled out of Colorado, and that one doesn't serve this particular sandwich, so I can no longer get it. I would make that.
And what's worse, everyone in Colorado is high and hungry for sandwiches. And there's no delicious sandwich.
What has God wrought?
Proof that there is no God.
I strongly approve of anything made with sourdough.
I miss really sourdough bread. I'm not going to lie. I miss it.
Yeah? It's good stuff.
I don't eat a lot of bread, but sourdough, one of my favorites. So
our friend Mark makes a mean sourdough. You have to fermented.
Oh yeah, you have to get a mother just like kombucha.
Yeah,
you have to like get a mother like a SCOBY and to make it right. It has it's all crazy.
It's nuts.
All right, so question number five. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
I have participated in online debate forums since I was a kid, and that's going way back to like the 300 baud days, represent, which I think has made me somewhat immune to comments. Nothing special pops into my mind anyway, so instead of going with a personal comment, I'm going to go with a public statement. George Bush Sr.'s statement that atheists can't be good citizens. Specifically, he said, no, I don't know that atheists should be considered as citizens, nor should they be considered patriots. This is one nation under God. Oh, that gets your blood boiling, doesn't it? It does. It really it does. I feel similar because the whole, like, you know, I feel bad sometimes when people want to debate me on Facebook because they want to be like, oh my God, I have been doing this for so long, arguing online, you don't even know. Like, I've been arguing online since before you probably had a computer, sir.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
You've been arguing online before the internet was commonplace.
Yes. And not only that, I went to state and debate. So between the two of those things, right. I don't have a lot of empathy for strangers. So, like,
you know, the Myers-Briggs test results have been going around a lot lately, and I very, very consistently ENTP, and the hallmark ENTP personality trait, beyond just being like a brainstorming type problem solver, is arguing. You really like to argue for the sake of arguing.
Yes, the devil's advocate.
And being a devil's advocate, and just arguing out ideas has value and merit to you. So that's literally a defining thing by my...
When I read yours, I was very impressed. If you're looking for, by the way, if you want a really good Myers-Briggs test and not some of the ones that are going around that are garbage, 16personalities.com, 16personalities.com is great. I took a test. It should come as no surprise that Autistic Molly took the test like 10 times in a row over the course of 3 days, very vaguely changing answers as I saw fit to small degrees, and got the same result every time. And then I finally was like, okay, I win. I give
you
up.
Win.
I give up.
You
test.
Win. The test wins.
The test wins. You win test. I'm ISTJ.
Which oddly has nothing to do with what George Bush said, but...
No,
just the arguing.
The arguing thing.
Yeah. So, George
Bush Sr. Thank you very much, Brian in Boulder.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all five
questions. That's
all.
Hold on. I just got to kill Nick so we can do this podcast over.
No! did you see Edge of Tomorrow? Have you read All You Need Is Kill? What do you think of this rebranding?
Did we just waste your time by talking about this fucking movie for 30 minutes?
Did you have a favorite part? Did you think the movie was garbage and you disagree with us totally? Let us know.
Yeah, Nick likes to argue.
We'll debate you on it. You can leave a comment at geekswithoutgod.com or on Facebook at Geeks Without God. Follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Hey, guess who we are? We're Geeks Without God.
And
we will see you next Tuesday.
All you need is kill. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I really did like the aliens in that movie. I forgot to mention. The way they moved was fucking awesome.